This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Ephesians 1, Apostle Paul is talking about, in the verses just prior to this, that God had pre-planned, predestined us to be adopted as children of God. And this was the means by which he would save us. He would adopt us into his own family. He would do it by placing us in Christ. And that would secure us, that would protect us, that would keep us. And so this was his plan, even before the foundation of the world, that those who would come to him by faith, that he would take them and put them in Christ, and they would be part of the family of God. And that's how he would save us. And he would do it as a gift. As you know, you've all witnessed to people and told them about the free gift of salvation. He would do it as a gift. And he would do it as a gift of what he calls and what we call grace. And so in 1:6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. This is why he will do it. So that the glory, the manifestation of his grace would be praised by us, by the angelic host, for all eternity. We would praise him for his marvelous grace, his amazing grace. So this is why he does it, so that his grace will be praised forever, his gift to us, by which he made us, the same grace, he made us accepted in the beloved, which is the reference to Jesus Christ, the beloved. We are accepted in him. Outside of him, rejected. Inside of him, accepted. But it's all done as a gift. In Ephesians 2 and verse 7, he goes on to say that in the ages to come, in the eternity that's coming, and Paul is speaking in the first century, so in the centuries that follow, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. And how will he do that? By demonstrating his kindness towards us. He will save us. He will keep us. He will prepare us for eternity. All as a gift of grace, the richness of his grace, all through the ages to come, it will be done to show just how marvelous and how amazing grace is by his kindness towards us. So grace this morning, as you well know, is God's unearned and undeserved favor towards us. We didn't earn it, and we certainly don't deserve it. And it is the means by which God intends to glorify himself. He will glorify himself by giving us grace. Throughout eternity in heaven, we will marvel at what God has done in spite of a flawed humanity. In spite of the fact that we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, yet nevertheless God does it, will bring him glory forever and ever and ever, and appreciation. Grace means that God does the work, and God receives the glory for it or the credit for it. God does the work, and God receives the glory for it. If it doesn't come by grace, then it doesn't come by God. If grace didn't do it, then God didn't do it. Because God's operation in this time that we live in is grace. He does it all by grace. You're not going to be able to barter with God. You're not going to be able to say, God, if you do this, I'll do this for you. Because that's not grace. I'll behave myself and be good, but you've got to give me this. That's not grace. That's works. That's bartering with God. That's not going to happen in this dispensation. This is grace. God gives it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. He gives it. You approach God on that basis. God, you are the giver of all things. You are the God of all grace in 1 Peter 5:10. And you want to give us all things freely in Romans 8:32. And you know, and you are a giving God. You are a loving God. You are a gracious God. And we can't buy your favor. We cannot earn your favor. We can never deserve your favor. You give it to those who don't deserve it, those who don't earn it. So God does the work. He receives the credit. And everything that comes from God comes through grace. Grace depends, God's grace depends on the nature and character of the giver, who is God. It entirely excludes the ability, the merit, the worth, the achievement of the recipient. Grace depends on God and who He is and what He's done, not upon who you are and what you are and what you have done. Believers need to understand that grace is God's economy. It is God's method of operation in this dispensation that we live in, which we mentioned last week, Wednesday night. This is the church age. This is the age of grace. This is where God does everything solely by grace. In order to understand that, you also need to understand, and I believe you do, the doctrine of depravity. We cover this maybe once a year, the doctrine of depravity. Depravity means that man, because of the presence of his fallen nature, man, humanity, has fallen. From the Garden of Eden, we were born fallen away from God. We were born with an old sin nature. We inherited Adam's sin. From the moment we came into this world, we had the Adam's sin attached to us. Because of that, we are flawed even at our best. Even if we're living in the best estate we could possibly live in, because of the presence of the old sin nature within us, Adam's nature within us, we are unacceptable to God. Therefore, whatever good that finds its origin in the human soul receives no credit from God. Whatever good finds its origin in the human soul receives no credit from God. Remember, Adam rejected the provision of God and chose to partake from a tree that taught him the knowledge of doing good or doing evil. Adam, without God, has the knowledge to choose to do good or choose to do evil. And in the world, we have people who do evil, and in the world, we have people who do good. But they're all part of that second tree, not the tree of life. They're part of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when you partake of that tree, you are not partaking of God's goodness. And so the goodness that you might generate if you choose to do good is still unacceptable to God. When a man chooses to do good, an unsaved man, a person who's not a believer, he chooses to do good in his life, others are grateful. I'm glad my neighbor has not chosen to be a burglar. He doesn't break into my house. I'm glad that people choose not to be murderers and choose not to be thieves and choose not to be immoral. They may not be Christians, but I'm glad they choose to do good in some way. I'm glad they choose to live properly and obey the laws and so forth. But that does not win favor with God. It wins favor with you and me, because we're glad that they do it. And the reason it doesn't win favor with God, because if it did win favor with God, then we would, then God would have to, I mean, if God took a person and said, well, this person's good, they don't do this sin, and this sin, if God was to judge us like that, then all of us would ultimately fall short and nobody would ever go to heaven. Because even though he does a few good things, he's not perfect. So you don't want God to be judging people on the basis of their works. You want God to judge them by grace, the gift. So even there are some who are good people and there are some who are evil people, they all have the opportunity for salvation through grace. Because we don't want to end up in the works program. In Psalm 14, verse 2, we see God's estimation of mankind. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is any who understands, who seeks after God. But, in verse 3, they have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none that does good, no, not even one. Of course, the Apostle Paul quotes this psalm up in Romans chapter 3 when explaining the gospel. If I do not understand the doctrine of depravity, then I'm going to think that there is some good in me, that I can do something good for God, that I can be a good person and God will merit something to me because of it, that I can live my life and follow the golden rule and do nice things for people and God will take notice of it and say, aha, there's a good guy, I think I'll take that one to heaven. But depravity says no such thing. Depravity says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All of us are in the same boat. We are all hopelessly lost if not for Jesus Christ rescuing us through a gift of grace. I understand depravity. You understand depravity. There are many Christians who don't, who still live with a works mentality. There are churches established that still live proclaiming that the golden rule, following the Ten Commandments, is the way to heaven. They don't understand depravity. They still think that man has goodness in him. When man's goodness, as we said, is human goodness, and we like it, we appreciate it. For example, we could say, well, what is the greatest good a man could do? Well, maybe going off and serving his country in the military and putting his life on the line and being there. Maybe he was wounded, and he did so for your freedom and my freedom. And we could say that is the highest good. That man has done incredible things. He is a good man for doing that. And you and I would agree to that, but from God's perspective, God says that was good that he did that, but that goodness doesn't get into heaven.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Attention homeowners, do you feel frustrated about not being able to sell your home? Are you worried because you're about to be transferred, or have you recently been laid off?